This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Just coming up to 7:16, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to China, and specifically the fact that the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP, celebrated its 100th year anniversary today with much pomp and circumstance, planes, cannon salutes, and a speech from President Xi Jinping, who basically warned foreign powers against intervention and bullying. So today, we thought we'd look at what this means for China's international relations.
So just to say that if we look at the speech itself, which is the thing that has been generating the most headlines, President Xi essentially praised the CCP for lifting China out of poverty, pledged to expand China's military and influence, and also, as you point out, spoke about not kowtowing really to other powers. And so that's why we thought we would look at, of course, the United States, because that is in many ways the relationship that's come to define international relations for China in recent times, but also to look at a smaller player, but no less important, and that's Taiwan.
Yes, of course. And, you know, some of the conversations or the rhetoric that has come out of this speech, for instance, is being directed at the U.S. And this is coming on the wake, of course, from the U.S. Off China about alleged human rights abuses, the crackdown on Hong Kong. It's, you know, the conversation in that side has been quite strong. And Taiwan has always been a sore spot, right? And something that increasingly is being addressed by many countries, and they're feeling pressure on that as well. And of course, predictably, the relations between China and US have worsened due to trade espionage as well as the pandemic. So I think there's lots to unpack here, particularly in terms of what this holds for China's future, particularly in the way they position themselves with other countries. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And we'd love to hear from you. How do you think China has handled its international relations recently? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. And now joining us for this conversation is Dr. Peter Chang, Deputy Director of the Institute of China Studies at University of Malaya. Doctor, thank you for joining us today.
Good evening to you both. Very happy to be here with you.
So overall, what message do you think the CCP was sending in the way that they've celebrated the centenary?
Well, two messages, I think. The first one is a congratulatory sort of a celebratory message, which I think they rightly deserve. The Chinese Communist Party has really, over the last, especially four decades, have brought the country out of somewhat abject poverty level towards where it is today. For those of us who have been into China, we can see the dramatic change that has happened within China. So that's the first message. The second message, surprisingly, was that cautionary message that you guys have already alluded to, sounding out the alarm of the challenges that lies ahead. And surprisingly, he maps out the challenges that's chiefly coming out from foreign forces, forces that are outside of China that may not necessarily see the rise of China compatible with their own worldview. So that's the two kinds of messages that I think I sort of picked up from today's speech.
And were there any references made to specific foreign nations?
No, there is none, but there's no need to name those forces. We all know, those of us who have been watching this, we, without having to name it, we know what where Xi Jinping is referring to, and it's mainly towards the West and also the United States, I think. Yeah, it's quite clear.
Let's look at the pair of China's more difficult relationships, right? Starting with Taiwan, how are relations between Taiwan and China?
It's pretty bad right now. From the Taiwanese side, they have been watching closely what's happening in Hong Kong, and they don't really feel comfortable seeing what's happening in Hong Kong in relations to the one country, two system model that eventually they would probably, presumably, will be part of. So that's create a lot of anxiety among the Taiwanese as to what their future holds if that one country's two system takes the path that they see in Hong Kong. So there's this move towards talking of more autonomy and even independence. Whereas on the Chinese side, I think the Chinese still holds on, obviously, to the One China policy, and the Chinese will probably be happy just to wait it out and to get things cool down and settle down. I don't think the Chinese would want to take any measures that would necessarily affect the status quo, measures that would create unnecessary tension. But as the situation is right now, there's a lot of maneuvering both at the political level, with the US being one of the key players in the backdrop, and then the military buildup along the Straits of Taiwan, the prospect of a miscalculation or misreading of each other's move can lead to some kind of unintended conflict, I think. Having said that, I think the Chinese do have a red line drawn. They say that they were quite happy to accommodate whatever rhetoric the Taiwanese would throw at them, as long as they don't declare independence. And that's perhaps the red line. If they see that there's any move that leads towards, that will eventually lead towards that kind of declaration, then the Chinese will probably step in and do something that they prefer not to do.
And how would you characterize Taiwan's behavior or tone in many ways towards China, especially after the security law in Hong Kong?
It's been quite, understandably, they are quite anxious and they are quite feeling uneasy about what's happening in Hong Kong. So they have their grievances. And it's hard to really be able to not sympathize with them in some ways. But unfortunately, the situation is such that the room in which they could maneuver is somewhat limited. They are restricted by this framework of one country, two systems. So I think the Taiwanese eventually have to learn to live, to find a way to come to terms with that reality. Short of an outright war, unless they see open conflict is the only way that they could define their own destiny, then that will be a very sad scenario in which actually both sides, the people on both sides of the streets, do not want to see happening. So we just hope that the political leaders on both sides will be able to find a compromise that will satisfy, that will come to a sort of peaceful reunification.
Do you see this continuing to be a protracted situation, though? Because you mentioned that at the moment it's sort of a waiting game, you know, each side's to a degree playing it cool. Do you see this going on for decades more, for instance?
Yes, I think so. And the Chinese, the Beijing side, are willing to play the long game. They have got a lot of time is on their side. They have the capital to sit it out. So they are not in a hurry at all to want to push for one solution, short of an outright declaration of independence by Taiwan. The Chinese are willing to just to sit it out. So it's a matter of seeing who has the more stamina, patience to hold on. So we'll see. It's going to be prolonged, this particular sort of cross-straits, very complex relationship, and we just do not know. And of course, the US is another factor that goes into it. There are other forces that are in the background that could tip the balance in one way or the other. So there will be some other variables that needs to be accounted for. But by and large, I think it will be a protracted, stressful situation right now. I don't foresee a quick solution to this problem, unless there is really some significant change within the Taiwanese political polity, that there will be some other dynamics that change, that shift, that bring about a change in the political dynamics, domestic political dynamics, that want to seek a more peaceful coexistence with China, it's unlikely to see much changes in the near future.
And speaking of the US, how are things between China and America?
Pretty bad, I would say. Unfortunately, the Biden administration has basically, there's a slight change in tone, but the substance itself has fundamentally unchanged from the Trump administration, which is comprehensively anti-China policy. The strategy overall is still one of containment, trying to curtail China's growing stature, certainly in this part of the world. So they see that as a necessary strategy that they have to pursue for the sake of their own dominance and also, in their own words, the global international order. So I don't see any change at all where, with the new administration in place, American administration in place, in terms of the US-China dynamics, it continues to be quite fragile. And the trust between the two countries has also hit an all-time low right now, which is not a very good thing to be in right now between the two countries.
And if we move ahead, or look ahead, really, from this past 100 years, what do you think are the three key foreign policy areas that China is likely to focus on in the future?
It's a little bit hard to foresee what's the next 100 years going to be. But I can tell you that China, I'm a historian, so I look into the past and also the future. This is China today is a China that is very different from the China of the past. The China of the past 2,000 years ago has a very isolationist power. It has been a very powerful country, but it has never expanded itself beyond its own shores, with the exception of Zheng He. That was the only time where they really sort of had a much more global presence, but that was only for 40 years. But beyond that, they have very, very much a self-contained power within the Asia, Northeast Asia region. But today we are seeing China all over the place. You know, it's become a global presence. We have never seen it with such global footprint since the Zheng He era. And we don't exactly know how long they will maintain that, because historically China has been a very, in quote-unquote, shy power in terms of expanding itself beyond its own immediate borders. So to the extent that if they still continue to maintain that kind of global connectivity with the rest of the world, that would define the next 100 years. The previous 100 years was mainly to rejuvenate the country. The country was coming out from severe internal turmoil, the revolution, the Cultural Revolution and others. So they have rebuilt the country now. And now they are expanding themselves outwards towards the rest of the world. So they will probably define and shape their foreign policy. How do they keep? But it's compared to the American side, which is primarily driven by security, military alliances, the Chinese one has been defined by the Belt and Road Initiative, which is primarily economic in its nature. So I see that will be in the more immediate 10 to 20 years, is the economy, geoeconomics, that will be the main key that define the Chinese foreign policy in the next 10 to 20 years.
Peter, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Okay, good night.
Good night. That was Dr. Peter Chang, Deputy Director of the Institute of China Studies at the University of Malaya, speaking to us on the occasion of the Chinese Communist Party's 100-year anniversary. So keep it here on the Evening Edition. Popcorn Culture is up next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.